Good afternoon. Welcome to our house of worship on a beautiful afternoon the Lord has blessed us with to celebrate a very important truth, the truth preserved through the Reformation, not only of 1500, but throughout history. God be praised for preserving his church as he promised. How often do you contemplate the fact that your salvation is by grace through faith in Scripture alone? That is a truth that we ought to contemplate regularly, daily. In fact, the Lord's mercies are fresh and new each and every day. That truth is at the heart of the Reformation. So God be praised for preserving that truth, as we said, among us. And may he continue to use us to preserve that truth for generations to come, for as long as this world endures. That we are saved by God's grace, his undeserved love, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and that truth is revealed to us in the Scripture alone. Let's celebrate, turning our attention to the middle of page 2 as we continue with our invocation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Therefore, I hate every wrong path.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
Have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Thank you.
At this Reformation celebration, we're reminded of the fact that God takes his word very seriously, and rightly so. And so he will hold accountable all those who twist his scriptures for their own gain. God keep us faithful to his scriptures. A reading from Holy Scripture, Jeremiah 23. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." The word of the Lord.
Always.
God help us fight the good fight of faith by holding on to his healthy teachings, a reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word for our consideration on this Reformation Sunday is recorded in Psalm chapter 46. We'll hear just verses 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and heirs of the Reformation, in 722 BC, the king of Assyria sent his forces against the northern kingdom of Israel and decimated those 10 tribes, ultimately capturing the capital city of Samaria, and the northern kingdom of Israel was no more. Those who weren't killed were carried off into slavery, never to return. Shortly after, actually not too shortly, but sometime after the fall of Samaria and the fall of the northern kingdom, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, decided he wanted to subjugate Egypt as well. So he gathered even more forces, hundreds of thousands of Assyrian troops, and he sent them against Egypt, and they began attacking the fortified cities at the edge of the Egyptian kingdom. But as all that combat was going on, Sennacherib remembered that there was still a part of Israel standing. The southern kingdom was just fine. Jerusalem, with its proud walls, was there, and Sennacherib found it to be an affront to his glory and honor. So he decided, in the midst of this campaign against Egypt, that he wanted to take Jerusalem too. He peeled off about 185,000 of his troops from the campaign going on in Egypt and sent them against Jerusalem, along with one of his fine generals, to lead them into battle. They were given a message. They were told, go there and besiege the city and threaten them and frighten them. And if they fall by surrender, great. If they don't, raise the city to the ground. So off they went. In the meantime, Judah was doing pretty good. They had a good king, King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a man who feared the Lord and was very much interested in being a God-fearing leader. But before him, there were kings that weren't so interested in that, and they had tolerated pagan idolatry in the land. So there were pagan altars dedicated to different gods dotting the countryside, and Hezekiah had put together a campaign to take those down. He destroyed them, all of them. He met quite a bit of opposition to do that, but he boldly took a stand and he said, the one true God is the God of Israel, and God's people will worship no other. So that had happened, and things were going pretty good in Judah when all of a sudden one morning the people woke up and looked to the horizon and noticed the Assyrian army of King Sennacherib. They closed up the city as tight as they could. Everybody went to their place, and they got ready as the Assyrians besieged the entire city. When everyone was in place, the general stepped forward and approached the walls of Jerusalem, and he shouted up to King Hezekiah and everyone else who could hear him, you better surrender now. Don't think for one second there's anyone who can help you. Not even your gods can save you. In fact, your God here in Israel is really ticked off with your king, because we hear he's been destroying altars all over the place. That must have really ticked him off, so there's that. Surrender now, and we'll spare you. While everyone who heard the message from the Assyrian general was frightened, of course, Hezekiah stepped away from the wall and immediately sought the counsel of the prophet Isaiah. He asked Isaiah, "What do we do?" And Isaiah was steadfast. He said, "Don't you surrender. Don't you give an inch." So Hezekiah brought the response back to the general. And the general laughed. And then he thought that Sennacherib probably could use a laugh too, so he put that message all together and said, "Send it to the king, see what he thinks." Sennacherib read the response, and he laughed. And then Sennacherib decided to pen his own response to Hezekiah and the people of Judah, and this is what he wrote. You can find it in 2 Kings chapter 19. "This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. Do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. You know perfectly well what the kings of Assyria have done wherever they have gone. They have completely destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Why should you be any different? Have the gods of other nations rescued them? Such nations as Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? My predecessors destroyed them all. And you're next." The message came back. It was handed to King Hezekiah. And I suspect with trembling, sweaty hands, he took that message to the temple and he spread it out on the floor. And then he prayed, "Lord, are you going to let this stand? Lord, are you going to let your city and your people fall?" And by the time he finished his prayer, the prophet Isaiah came in and said, "Don't be afraid. God has answered. Jerusalem will be spared." And everybody was happy. Except there was one big problem. There were 185,000 bloodthirsty Assyrian soldiers outside the walls that disagreed. What now? They all went to bed that night, trusting in the Lord, but wondering, how is this all going to sort itself out? And then a miracle happened. During the night, the angel of the Lord swept through the Assyrian camp and slaughtered every single, so 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, all dead. Just a handful survived, just enough to be able to get up in the morning and wonder what in the world happened. Just enough to be able to run back to King Sennacherib, who was still fighting the fight in Egypt, and let him know, "We don't understand, but everyone is dead." Sennacherib was so rattled and so upset with the loss of 185,000 troops that he decided he would withdraw from Egypt. He went back to his country of Assyria, the capital city of Nineveh, tail between his legs, completely humiliated. And not long after his return to his home, while he was in one of his own temples praying to one of his pagan gods, two of his sons crept in and assassinated him. So much for King Sennacherib. There was trouble. God's people were in trouble, but they put their trust in the Lord, and he triumphed. And when God triumphs, his people triumph with him. It's a pattern that you see repeated time and again throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testaments. And actually, that particular account, that part of history there regarding Sennacherib's defeat at Jerusalem, that forms the backdrop for Psalm 46, 47, 48. That's the backdrop. With those thoughts in mind, listen to what the psalmist wrote. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I don't know if your congregation used the Old Testament lesson this morning that focused on the three men in the fiery furnace, but at Hope Lutheran in Penryn, we did. Yet another perfect example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been told by King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when we tell you, you better bow down and worship this pagan idol. That's not an option. It's a command. And if you don't obey, you will pay. Well, they refused and they told the king, look, no matter what occurs, know this, our God is able to deliver us if that's what he so desires. But even if he doesn't deliver us in this life, we are not going to bow down to your God. We never will. We will stand firm. And you know what happened next, especially if this was the Old Testament lesson in your congregation this morning. The king got mad, increased the strength and the heat of the fire seven times over, and then had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in there where they should have burned to a cinder inside of seconds. But then the king jumped up from his seat and he looked in there and he started doing the counting and he said, wait a minute. If I'm not mistaken, we threw three guys in there, and I'm counting four, and one of them looks heavenly. There was trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in trouble for their very lives, but they put their trust in God, and God triumphed. And when God triumphs, his people do too. Fast forward to the New Testament. How many different examples could we look at? Shortly after Jesus ascended into heaven, Herod, King Herod, who hated the Christians, began persecuting the church and had the Apostle Peter arrested. He was going to be put on trial, and it looked pretty bad. Peter was facing execution. The security for Peter was extremely heavy, but the church prayed. God's people put their trust in God, and one night, the Lord rescued by sending an angel who rescued Peter from prison, and he was safe. He was in trouble, but he put his trust in God along with the rest of the church, and God triumphed, and they did too. Fast forward ahead a number of centuries to a Roman Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther. A man who had been blessed with a really sensitive conscience. A man who had been blessed with a congregation, a church body, the Roman Catholic Church, that did a very good job of proclaiming the law. They got that part right. God shows you his will. You have violated his will. You've rebelled against God, and you deserve his wrath and punishment now and forever. That Luther got. But the message of the gospel had been completely obscured. And the Church of Luther's day was teaching that you've got to mix your best efforts and works into what Jesus has done in order to complete your salvation. So Luther gave it a try, his very, very best. But try as he might, he kept coming up short. There's nothing that he could do to find the comfort and security he so desperately needed. God is angry, he was convinced, and God will punish, and he'll never change his mind about it. But in the midst of near despair, Luther was given the responsibility of teaching a course on Romans, and as he faithfully prepared his classes, the Holy Spirit used that opportunity to open his eyes to the message of the gospel. And by God's grace, Luther came to see that the righteousness that God demands is righteousness that he freely gives to all, free of charge. God gives salvation at great expense to himself. He sent Jesus to bleed and die for our sins, for your sins, for mine. Jesus suffered in our place so that God could be just. But he bled and died and rose again for you so that God could also be loving. In Christ and in him alone, your sins are not only forgiven, the righteousness that God demands, Jesus has given to you through faith. Salvation does not involve our effort. It's the gift of God. And with that wonderful message, Luther sat down and thought to himself, this is the happiest day of my life. I've got to share the joy. So he decided that's what he needed to do. And to spark that kind of a conversation, he put down a bunch of ideas in thesis form, 95 of them to be precise, and he nailed them to the castle door at Wittenberg, hoping to spark a conversation, a bit of a debate, so that finally the entire church would open its eyes and realize, yes, yes, we're saved by grace alone, except the Roman Catholic Church at the time wasn't interested in that. They told Luther to be quiet, to stop. And when he would not, they called a special meeting at Worms. And there they sat down. It wasn't just the theological authorities of the day, it was the governmental authorities as well, all together telling them, watch yourself. You need to recant, and you better do it now. Take back what you said, take back everything you've written, denounce all of it, or you will pay. And Luther understood what that meant. It was a death threat. Others before him, when they stood against the church, had met a bitter end. Many of them burned at the stake. Luther knew that was a possibility. He was in trouble. But he put his trust in God, and God triumphed. You know what Luther said at the Diet of Worms? Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. God help me. Amen. Trouble for Luther, trust in God and triumph by the Lord and for his people. And we are beneficiaries of that wonderful event. For we still know that we're saved by grace alone. This day you rejoice to know that everything that is required for your salvation is work that is done and has been completed by God. Start to finish, top to bottom, beginning to end, and given to you. Even the faith you need to believe this is a gift that the Holy Spirit freely provides. And that's wonderfully comforting, because you know the trouble that Christians can face. You have an adversary that is against you and hates you and wants to destroy you every bit as much as Sennacherib's army wanted to destroy Jerusalem. The devil, he's your accuser. He stands before God and he says, see this one? This one's a sinner. This one's rebelled against your will, and this one belongs in the flames of hell along with me. And he's got a point. We have sinned. But the Lord has rescued. And in Him, we're safe. Now and forever. When it comes to salvation, no, there was trouble. We were lost. But by the grace of God, we trust in all the work that Jesus has done, and in Christ we triumph. It's really what I guess I'm trying to tell you in a kind of prolonged manner this afternoon is simply what the psalmist has already said so beautifully in Psalm 46. He says it loud and clear. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. When it comes to the big questions, you know, the big questions of life, how is a sinner like me really ever going to be forgiven? How am I going to be kept safe from the devil? How are we really going to be able to hold on to the truth of the gospel and not lose it? How is the Lord really going to carry me into the glories of heaven someday? I mean, those are the big questions. What does the psalmist say? Be still. This is God's concern. He'll provide the salvation. He'll provide the rescue. He will give the strength necessary to hold on to the truth. He's the one who will hold you fast until He brings you into the glories of heaven. We have nothing to fear. Be still. And rejoice in the work of God. And He is exalted. And I'll tell you what, if God is able to deal with the big, huge questions of life like that, then He can deal with the other ones as well. Because in a sin-broken world like ours, we're going to have trouble and we're going to have problems. There's no shortage. We look to the future and we wonder, what is going to happen? What will become of our country? What will become of our children? And our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. And what about all the other things over which we have absolutely no control? The psalmist still answers, be still. And in so doing, in placing our trust in God, we exalt Him. What a wonderful way to go. Because God never loses. Be still. Put your trust in Him. And as God triumphs, He will be exalted among His people and all over the world. May that be your comfort on this Reformation Day and always. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The choir will now sing the Reformation song. The congregation may be seated.
We join in prayer. Lord, our refuge and strength, we gather to worship and praise you for your ongoing work of reformation in your church. God of grace, in unfathomable love, you pitied us sinners and sent your Son as our substitute to deliver us from sin, guilt, death, darkness, and despair.
For your grace, Lord, to you alone be glory.
By your grace, you sent your Spirit to call us to repentance. Your powerful gospel rescued us from rebellion and fills us with faith in you, the true and living God. By your grace, we are heirs of your eternal word and trustees of the inspired scriptures, through which you proclaim your saving truth to every generation. By the scriptures, you overthrew the darkness of those who perverted your teachings and restored to your church the message of salvation by grace alone.
For the Holy Scriptures, Lord, to you alone be glory.
In these last days, Lord Jesus Christ, protect your little flock. We are like sheep living among fierce wolves. Satan stalks us like a roaring lion. Defend us from false teachers who twist your word to satisfy the latest longing.
For wisdom and watchfulness under attack, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Never in the history of the world has your holy word been so accessible. We lack only the zeal to treasure your restored truth with lives of faithful Bible study.
For the noble character to search the scriptures daily, hear our prayer, O Lord.
As we celebrate the Reformation that restored your pure gospel to your church, we also celebrate our common confession of the pure gospel in word and sacrament.
For the unity of faith, we give you thanks, O Lord.
We remember this, the faithful confessors of this and former generations, who have passed down to us your word of truth.
For these faithful servants, we give you thanks, O Lord.
In thanksgiving for the many and amazing blessings restored to your church through the Reformation, we now commit ourselves to your care.
Be our mighty fortress, our trusty shield and weapon, O Lord. Amen.
We also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
Like the rest, you were by nature objects of wrath.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions.
It is by grace we have been saved.
Yes, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Great to see you here in our house of worship. It's great to be together with our brothers and sisters from different congregations. We're thankful for the opportunity to do so, having to miss a year for that word we won't mention. We continue to glorify God and join in the fellowship that he's allowed us to have this day by inviting you over to our multi-purpose center. A meal has been prepared for all of you to come and enjoy and hang out for some good conversation, we pray. And with that in mind, let us join together in the common table prayers. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Look forward to fellowshipping with you more as you make your way to the multipurpose center. Have a great evening in the Lord. May the joy of the Reformation message continue to fill your lives day in and day out. Thank you.